Hello and welcome. You're listening to Coming Back to Life, the podcast that opens you up to growth and healing that will help you live the life that you desire and deserve the most while loving yourself in the process. I'm your host, Debbie O'Keefe. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here with you today, and I want to thank you for sharing the gifts of your energy and your time with me for this experience. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, wherever you are coming in from. This is Debbie O'Keefe with this week's episode of Coming Back to Life. And this week's guest is a dear, incredible friend of mine and a soul sister from another mister. And her name is Carolyn Gallardo. And she is someone I've had the privilege of building both a professional and a personal relationship with over the past several years. Carolyn is the co-founder of Cardia Communities, Cardia Ecotech, the Creative Real Estate Academy, Empowering Women in Real Estate, and the Green Nation Collective. Carolyn is also the author of Dream the Impossible, my friend. And this woman is a powerhouse of compassion and empowerment, unlike anything I've ever seen. And she literally embodies everything that it is about the purpose and the message and meaning behind coming back to life. Carolyn herself has reinvented and redefined the definition of life for herself, for her family, many, many times over again. And she has some incredible accounts and messages to share with us here today. So, Carolyn, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much, Debbie. I am so grateful for this opportunity and the gift to spend time together and be able to, just have this conversation and hopefully use this opportunity to inspire others and see what's possible.
I have absolutely no doubt about that. each and every time Carolyn and I are gifted to be together, it is such a mutually reciprocal experience where there's something to be learned and gained and growth to be had on both sides. It's just natural, organic, and energetic. So everyone stands a lot to gain from being a part of your experience and with you today. So if you could just take a few moments to let us know, because what it is that you do, when we hear so much about women in real estate and, you know, she's part of Cardia Real Estate, what you do is so different and transformative and life-changing. So if you could share a bit about the really awesome things that you are working towards in terms of rebuilding communities.
Absolutely. Thank you for that question, because you're absolutely right. I mean, first of all, going into real estate in the initial phases was really interesting because historically it's been very male dominated. And so to go into this space where not only has it been male dominated, but also generally speaking can be in a very competitive and aggressive I don't know if profession is the right word, but area of focus. And so when I went in, I really had to go in, one, with an open mind, but also, two, make sure that I protected myself from almost being influenced by what was the status quo, because I already knew that for me, this was going to be a vehicle to be able to do greater impact on this planet. As you know, my background was in social work. I did that for 13 years, worked in child protection, and then went into real estate because I thought there's another level of impact I can do with helping people with housing. So I went into that space, and it has evolved significantly. Where, of course, at first I was starting with, you know, one property, then a few, and, you know, we built it up to, I think we were at like 50, maybe 52 single properties when we first started our company, which is when you and I started working together. And, you know, and it's funny looking back now, because for us, that was quite significant and quite a journey. But then, you know, when you step into a place like this, especially in real estate, but you go into it truly leaning into being guided and saying, okay, how can I serve at the highest level in this industry? And I got to a point where I felt like this is not enough. I'm not doing enough. There has to be another level. And as you know, just over a year ago, my business partner, Kristen, and I, we had this awakening of like, hold on a second. We are meant to do way bigger than this. Like, we have just been dipping our toes into it and just kind of like being, you know, cautious about it. But we just kept getting this messaging of, no, you guys have to go bigger than this. And it was, as soon as that message landed for both of us, it was like the whole world opened up. You know, I was already looking at certain things farming, how to revitalize farming in, you know, we had bought a farm. So I was already feeling into this, but then it was like they all came together and everything just completely blew up, to the point that in a very short period of time, you know, essentially we said, okay, we need to go bigger. We were invited to Necker Island with Richard Branson to go and talk about building communities of change. And then that really for us started to solidify a lot of these different visions that we had, which has now turned into like our full focus is just these impact communities. And so what that means is like building intentional communities that look at all aspects of human living. So do I have food that's accessible and in my community? Do I have the right amount of energy or the right type of energy that's powering my community? Do we have clean water? Do we have housing that is truly affordable for people and good quality housing? So we started to look at every element and then just create a template of how can we incorporate this into communities around the world that are unique to their community and honoring of the local people and the local practices and the local culture, but where we can make not only that community support, like I said, the local community, but make it financially self-sustainable. So then that way it continues to serve itself throughout, you know, its history of the way it's impacting that local community. But that for us has been the biggest transformation. And for me, I finally feel like I'm playing in the space that I have always meant to be playing. And that's the magical part, is in my soul, I always just felt there's something greater. There's a big purpose, a big reason why I came to this planet and decided to be of service. And so, so that for me has been incredible now to see how essentially all those dots from the past connected and made what today is like truly remarkable. And as you know, Debbie, it's almost like we've been in preparation mode and now we are on that rocket ship taking off.
Yeah.
And I know that the rest of the world is going to start to see what Cardia is doing, and there's going to be a lot more like public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, really, for me, like I said, it just, my soul just feels so fueled by what we get to do, because it's in full alignment of what I always felt I was meant to be here for.
Oh, Carolyn, this is it's such a powerful introduction. And now, Carolyn's ready for me because, she's been working with me and has invited me into her team for the past, where are we now? Like 3 years? Or is it longer than that? It feels longer
We
than that.
started, we started in 2019. So yes,
Wow,
3 years.
2019. This is crazy. See, it's
Yeah.
so funny because it feels like
Feels way longer. Like we've been doing this.
yeah,
Yeah.
it feels so long in the journey that we've been, and this is the part now where we're gonna take this episode and we're gonna go deep, because that's what we do, and that's really what the bulk of this podcast is. And as Carolyn was speaking, there were words that you're saying, and I've had the privilege of working with Carolyn both in terms of, with her team, but also individually, and the energy that comes through. So here's a little bit of vulnerable admission on the part of my side. And this is the funny part about these experiences. And this is a real growing moment. So when Carolyn talks so many times about, guided in this direction and pulled in this direction, we talk about this idea of like, taking risks and one of the biggest things I do on this podcast is really blowing up ideas. We hear words thrown around all the time about like empowerment and you got to be in it to win it. And we're talking so much more than just rah-rah cheerleading. And this is, following the direction when you are literally yanked from every part of your soul. And that's what this is. And but we're also going to talk about those
Yeah.
moments where you fight it kicking and screaming. And okay, I'm feeling it. Like this is the right time, the right place. I'm meant to be there, but I don't know. I'm
Yeah.
not ready. And this doesn't feel. So, I mean, as how we became together, this is the funniest part of how Carolyn and I came to meet was when I was brought in to work with her. I was introduced to it, and it was, we want you to work with this realtor company in Canada. And certain words at this point in my healing journey, please remembering this is right at the peak of my chronic illness. I was still suffering from anxiety and depression. I was just dipping my toes into the healing pool. Number one, faced with like unbelievable waves of unworthiness and not readiness and all this kind of stuff of like, you want me to work with people? I don't even have myself worked out. Like, are you nuts? And we want you to excite people and energize them. I was like, I am a soggy bowl of wet noodle. Like, you want me to do what with who for why and huh? And then these words corporate and real estate came up and business. And I'm like, well, that just sounds god awful. I want no part of that hot mess. Like, are you kidding me? I had no intentions of working with businesses, corporate, anything like that. I was like, I don't know about this. And sure enough, it was like, okay, great. Well, think about it, but you're doing it, And it was one of those things that I had anxiety for weeks. I was over planning, I was over worrying, over analyzing, and over debbying in every way that I used to do. And when I came to this experience, as Carolyn was, saying, yes, it was this idea. And I want to speak a bit about, one of the things that we talk about that is one of the pivotal moments and greatest life choices that you can make in terms of your healing and your freedom and enjoyment of life is this idea of expectations. This idea of what I thought I was sitting down and getting into based on basically that background of what Carolyn was talking about. This is what everything was known as. Not to mention the fact that I was in a huge, bought in 2008 my home under the underwater market thing. So the last words I wanted to hear was real estate at that point, trying to sell my home in an underwater market. I'm like, I don't even want to hear about realtors. But being put in this path of Carolyn and her team, and slowly but surely throughout this evolution process, there are some words that I just wrote down as Carolyn was talking because these strike. And when they come out of Carolyn, it is this idea. And when she said, my soul is so full. And she talked about unique communities, honor the people. And those key words for me, that when I hear unique, honor, and community, that's Carolyn Gallardo right there. Like that's her soul on a plate. And having the honor and privilege of seeing this evolution of moving from like, oh, we're just acquiring properties to we are literally reinventing a way of life and a complete sustainment and bringing community together. It's totally returning us. It's bringing us back to life. Everything from the seeds that are planted to grow the food that goes into these communities, to the trees that are planted, to, you know, every single new life that is born in these communities. I mean, my hair is standing up on every edge and I can see it and feel it. And Carolyn, she's like, yes, yes, that is what this is. This entire movement for you is about life.
Yes.
And I want to go ahead now and turn this to this direction, because one of the most beautiful things about you, Carolyn, is, and it's been said more times over than I can even mention, is that aside from your incredible gifts as a speaker, a writer, a realtor, like your idea, you're a visionary. It's endless. I can go on and on, but one of the things that makes you so incredible as a person is that you have this inherent way of just, as I've expressed, you know, we talk a lot in our sessions about the broken pieces and piecing them back together with that gold paint and polishing the diamonds until they shine. You see all these people who claim to be, quote unquote, broken. And you open opportunities to people because you see life, light, and potential in the eyes and in the soul. You see that behind people. And there is no doubt that your life experiences have built you to the person that you are. So for those that, you know, we often kind of wonder, we see people who rise to these levels of success, but we forget or often don't know where it is that they've come from. So if you don't mind, if you could share a bit about some of those experiences where you have found yourself broken and rebuilt and broken and rebuilt, because one of the most powerful messages that you come to this episode bringing is that you're coming back to life. Moments have shaped you, because there isn't one, right?
No.
So take us through a bit of your journey and your growth process.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, like you said, it's I wish it was just one sometimes, but then the next level of like of growth that shows up is just like out of this world. And so, you know, for me, as you know it, and just to like reference the book that I wrote, it was that book was about, the impact that losing my mom at age 12, in a tragic car accident, how that impacted my life. And that moment for me at that time was really pivotal, because I was the second oldest of six siblings. My youngest sister was just over a year old. And when one of my uncles came to the house and told myself and my two brothers that were old enough to understand what had happened, I remember sitting there like as if the whole world had stopped. Mm. And it was like everything went into slow motion. But the one message that came through loud and clear, and at the time, of course, I didn't think much of it, but was that you are going through this because you're meant to do something greater in this world. And that was so powerful for me because it actually fueled me to just keep pushing through and know that it wasn't, even though we had lost her mom, it wasn't for nothing. And it was almost like her passing was a sacrifice so that I could step into this next level. And yeah, and I say that now because I've done a lot of healing around that. you know, because it's, as you could imagine, it's very traumatic and obviously life-changing to be left without a mom at such a young age. And I went through a lot of really difficult and experiences that I don't really talk about openly too much because I just feel like they don't serve what I'm doing right now. But so it was really challenging. I ended up quitting high school at 16 because I felt like I needed to go work and support financially. So I did that. But the beautiful thing, again, going back to age 12, is that it was about 6 months after my mom had passed, and somebody had gifted me this little Hello Kitty journal. And I talk about this in my book in a lot more detail, but that, and it had a little lock on it. And that journal for me was like, it was like me having daily conversations with God. But what I didn't know is that at the same time, I learned how to, set intentions and how to start manifesting. I had no idea what I was doing. It just organically started to happen. But I would write down the things I wanted to see in my life. And I would also talk about, you know, when I was missing my mom and was sad or angry or whatever the emotions were that were coming up. But it was so therapeutic, but also so inspirational for me because I kept setting goals. So, you know, when I quit high school, for example, I went and became a hairdresser because I thought, okay, if I can make money doing that, I could travel the world and cut hair and like go see the world. but that was also like a temporary, you know, a temporary part of my life. Cause then eventually I wanted to, I saw, okay, this isn't fulfilling enough. It served the purpose at the time so that I could help financially. But then I set the intention to go to university. And the crazy thing about that is I was at the time living in Chile. I had to go to night school to be able to get my high school diploma so that I could apply to go to university in Canada. And the only reason I wanted to go to university was because everybody said to me, if you really want to like have a good, stable life, you need to have some sort of degree. And so I went through that path and that process. And I got into university, which I even tell my kids, I'm like, I think it was just like the universe supporting me and where I needed to go because I did not have grade levels in school, high school, anything to be close to be able to get into a university, but I did. And so, yeah, it was remarkable.
You know, I'm hearing, it's just so much. It's, you know, as I listen to you, it's just like, oh, there's that, there's that, there's this. And it's just, it's endless. What comes through about this is, you know, what I love that you're talking about, and I find this so impactful and so helpful. You know, I know so many people, I lost my uncle, my godfather when, I was 19, and nowhere near the same, but you know, he didn't have children, and his nieces and nephews were his children. And you know, my husband and sister-in-law losing their mother very unexpectedly. You know, there's so much speaking to those in that experience of grief, especially when it's unexpected. You know, and you're literally like brought to your knees and your whole life and your world, especially at such a young age, 12, like you never think like mom's going to be there forever, right?
Yes.
Mom, parents are immortal when we're kids, right? And what I love that you speak about is this idea, because there's so much in terms of this, like, Well, you got to get over it eventually, and you can't grieve forever. And I, if you don't mind, I'd like to speak a bit on this idea of grief. I mean, it is such a personal and an intimate experience, I believe, for every person.
Oh, yeah.
And what I think is wonderful about your sharing of this and how you navigated through it, in your book, Dream the Impossible Dream, my friend, is this idea of, yes, I pushed through and I moved on and continued and had ambitions and I dreamed, but you didn't use that as a distraction or an escape, right? Because so many people busy themselves or get into things. And I know we can all speak that, we go down that road where we make choices or engage in behaviors that, we think are gonna, heal those wounds, but they don't. And but how important it was to have that expression of the emotions and process the emotions and go through that grieving process while at the same time advancing yourself. It's a very fine line and a thin tightrope that we walk between that balance of giving into it and turning yourself over to that experience. And what I'd like to ask at this point, because I think the burning question here is, and I speak so much on this podcast about the power of choice. We all have a choice. And I was blessed to have the experience of working in alternative schools with at you know with students of anything from backgrounds where parents were incarcerated or they themselves were in drug addiction and all sorts of things. And I've seen a variety of outcomes and experiences based upon those choices of life. Now, out of six children and losing your mom, and you had a choice of so many directions you could have taken. And in addition to that, leaving school at 16, you didn't have to go back and all of these things. And the burning question is, what was it within you and outside of you that continued to put you on that path in the directions that served you? And rather than making those choices to submit to your experience, because I mean, we all have that, right? You could have been the wounded child who lost her mom,
Definitely.
who could have been
Yeah.
running amok, right, in the system and all the and blaming it on your sad situation, right? Like,
Yes, 100%.
and we see it happen more times. So, what was it that kept you defying that path?
That's a great question. And I think where I am now in my life, again, I can look back and say, it was, I, like I said, just there was just something in my soul that always said, there's more, like, there's more that you're meant to be doing. There's more, like, keep going because there's more. Because, like you said, I could have, I could have easily leaned into, and, I have some of my siblings that unfortunately were affected differently, right, with her loss, where they did go down that path of, this is my cross that I'm going to carry for the rest of my life. Where for me, I just it's almost like I couldn't afford to do that. I had too much at stake in terms of what I knew or I felt inside of me that I was meant to do. And the interesting thing is that it really wasn't until, I think it was January of 2019, I want to say, no, 2020. I went to see a medium for the first time, and that was interesting for me because I grew up in a very religious background, and I was like, oh, I don't believe in this, and I'm like, this is so, this is so wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. So I was like guilt tripping myself the whole time. And this was in Mexico, actually. I was there for business and I was offered this opportunity. And when I met this lady, one of the things she said to me was, what you have been feeling that you are here to make a difference on this planet is true. And it was like kind of like this deep rooted secret that I was holding inside. Like, I can't say this to anybody because who the heck do I think I am that I'm meant to be like a world changer or doing something big on this planet? And it was like her saying that gave me permission to step into that role. Because for my whole life, I was like, I know I'm meant to do bigger, but I would never tell anybody. If you read my journal, you would not see anything saying like, oh, I'm going to be a world impact or a world changer, nothing like that. But I could feel it in my soul. And it's like, I kept just like, okay, I don't know what this is supposed to mean, but I'm just going to like, you know, be guided to whatever the next phase is of my life. And I tried so much to, I tried so much to live by the standards that we were told you were supposed to go through in your life journey. That's why I went to university, because I was told, go to university, get a degree, do this, and go, you know, find your partner, get married, have children. I went through all of that. And there came a point, actually, 2000, and this is in much more detail in my book, but on March 13th of 2013, I remember the date like as if I was rebirthed, which I believe I was at that place. But like you said, Debbie, my rebirths have been happening
many times over. You've had a lot of baby showers.
And this one was significant because, again, I was like from the outside, you would see this beautiful family, you know, both having professional jobs, having the car, the house, everything looking like it's all good. And we were financially free. We had no debt. We were like 34, 35. But I felt so empty in my soul. And I felt guilty too, because I had these four healthy, wonderful children. I had a husband that was providing, responsible, present, everything. There was no excuse for me to be feeling empty. And it was that experience in 2013, and it was a surfing experience, but I won't go into detail. You can read the book to know more about that, because it was like I said, a rebirth. But it was that experience that brought me back to almost that childhood state of like, this is not what I'm meant to be doing in this life. There is no way. There is more that I'm supposed to be doing here.
There's two very big things here, and this I think is going to speak to the core of everything it is, Carolyn, that it's just, first of all, I don't think you realize how monumental you have been in just my journey and growth and experience alone, and you sharing some of these things, like you're literally reaching down my throat, grabbing my heart, giving it a big hug, and it's like, okay, Debbie, I get you, I feel you, you know. And I want to speak to, you know, every woman and mother who is listening to this, because, you know, again, this part of your business, empowering women in real estate. And I think, you know, again, empowerment is such a word that is thrown around. I know you understand what I'm talking about here, that it's just thrown around. So like, you can do it. But I don't think we truly understand. And what I have come to discover that empowerment is not just, you know, again, pom-pom shaking it and cheerleading. It is literally reconnecting and fully embodying, empowering, embodying the power that you have. And those that who are empowering you is just reconnecting you. It's getting you to see that again. And every word that you are speaking is echoing that part, and that my body responded so physically to. And I think what we share here, and many women can connect to, and this is that moment of the episode where you listen to it and you go, oh, that's it. That's what I've been feeling. They know what I'm talking about. And it's where you love your children. You love your husband. You have a great home. You're secure. Everything is showing you and pointing to you and telling you, you should be grateful. Your life is everything and more. You have nothing to be upset about. How are you depressed? How do you have anxiety? How could you put, what do you mean? You feel like, you know, because you, the truth of the matter is you do, you wake up and you realize in that moment, because you're living with the routines and the structures of the, you know, taking care of your house and cooking the meals and providing and living to meet the needs of everyone around you. And that part of you wakes up that goes, hi, yeah, your sole purpose in life is to live for other people. But the one person you are not living at all for is you.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And my body responded with that in a near-death experience. Like every part of me started to shut down physically and symptomatically. I was awakened to this, like, you feel, you know, it was like, I feel like I'm dying. I think I'm going to die. And it was like, well, if you don't wake up and bring yourself back into this life, you will. And that was my come to Jesus moment. And hearing you in this context, it's like everyone has it in their own way. Those who watch This Is Us, I don't know if you watched that show, but there was that incredible episode where Rebecca, you know, she wakes up and it's the same routine and she packs the lunch the same way. And she goes to the deli and the guy points to her and goes, pound a ham. Like he calls her pound a ham, right? And she's standing at the deli going, oh my God, I'm pound of ham. And she goes to the hair salon and does this dramatic haircut. Because, and she tells her husband, I don't want to be pound of ham. Right. And I think every woman can connect and relate yes. with that, right? Where it's just like, I'm not in this life. Right.
Yes.
And when you tell that, it's just like, so for every woman who, you know, and you feel guilty, right? There's like that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, the mom shame.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, I have these beautiful, healthy, happy kids. Oh my God, what's wrong with me to want something else and to maybe not want to be around them all the time? Right? But it's a very real thing. You know, it's who we are. Hey everybody, Debbie O'Keefe here, and I hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. I'm here to share with you two new, incredibly exciting opportunities to work, learn, and grow alongside me, and to take the next step in your journey and to go even deeper. You can learn more on my website, deborahokeefe.com. The first is the Coming Back to Life membership, where every week you will receive a unique, intuitive download based on experiences in my own life and in the workings of others that reveal the guidance, the messages, and the insights that will take you along the way to make the changes and take action in your life to live as your best self. The second opportunity is the Rising Together Women's Community. This is a unique sisterhood, a tribe of belonging, where we all come together to create the support, the sense of belonging, and the endless uplifting inspiration that you need to maintain committed and to stay on track to make the changes and take action to live the life that you are meant for as everything you were created to be. Each of these opportunities are being made available on a sliding scale where you can pay at the level that is comfortable and right and best for you. No matter which level of contribution you choose, you will receive the same benefits. Because I never want anything to stand in the way of your desire to help yourself and live your best life. If you'd like to learn more, you can check me out at deborahokeefe.com or message me at info@deborahokeefe.com. I look forward to being with you real soon and taking the next step in our journey together. The other thing I want to speak about, God, I mean, Carolyn, there was just so much. It's who do I think I am? And where do I get off wanting this? And who am I to think this? And who am I to feel? This is so real for so many people, but most especially women.
Yes.
And I want to tie in and ask a really burning question, which I know you're going to have a mind-blowing answer for because you do. And, you know, tying in this idea too, that we are innate caregivers and nurturers and, you know, maternal. It's that feminine way of us. And I can also relate, and I want to ask you and speak a bit to bring this all together, that part of us too, that, you know, everybody talks about, oh, you need to live a life of gratitude, right? But those also, you know, I also grew up very religious, you know, strong parochial background. So those of us that have that thing where, you know we have stuff to be grateful for. But then that gratitude often, I talked about this actually in the last episode, that, you know, gratitude and guilt seem to go hand in hand. It's like, I have so much and I feel so bad because everyone else has less. Or, you know, I don't want to want more because that's greedy, or I don't want different or anything like that. And especially, like you said, in terms of, you know, like your siblings or friends or those that you love, that it's like, oh, but they're going through such a hard time. And I don't want to do great things because that's going to make them feel bad. And I don't want them to think like they screwed up, but I'm doing something. And all these things, these stories, these things that we let get in our head about why we shouldn't, why we can't, the reasons that it's just easier and safer to stay small, to stay quiet, to not write those things so nobody can read, keep everything in, right? And not let it out. So this is very real for many people. And how many people do not take that leap for these many different reasons? And I'd love to know from you about, I mean, first of all, I think it's an obvious answer, like, have you yourself experienced these things? I know you're like, yeah. And how it is, you know, those times of pushback, you know, when you were met with opposition from people, because this is the nitty gritty, like, what do you do when it gets hard and people shame you for what you're doing or minimize it in any way?
Oh, well, I mean, I think one of the hardest experiences is when I had in 2013, that reawakening. The unfortunate part of that process is that, well, I don't know if I should say unfortunate. I would say painful part at the time was that I came to the very quick realization that my husband at the time was just not comfortable with me stepping into this higher place that I knew I was meant to be doing more. And so, so at the end of the day, it ended up having to put me in a place to make a decision where I ended up leaving him and having to start all over. So going from, like I said, having this perfect white picket fence life to renting a bedroom because it's all I could afford to start getting up again and becoming independent was one of the hardest things I did. And I had to keep being my own cheerleader and say, you got this. You're doing this because you're meant to be doing greater things. Because the amount of guilt I had for separating our family, for like, if only I didn't have these goals, why didn't I, you know, just this battle in my head of like, why didn't I just accept that life and just keep going with that? Why did I have to have this, like, why me? Why do I have to have this push to do greater things? And it was like this constant fighting between these two worlds, right? Until I was finally able to like get myself to the point where I started to see with more and more clarity, okay, this is meant to be like part of my journey. And the beautiful thing is that even in that experience, you know, again, I think just by nature, I always like to look for the better outcomes and how to do good and how to approach everything with so much love. So even when we separated, the one thing I said to my kids' dad is, I want to make this so amicable that for them, they see that they're still so loved by both of their parents and both their parents are respectful to each other, that, you know, and actually it got to the point where my kids were like, why aren't you together? You know, they would say sometimes, but then they started to see as my journey began to unfold, that, yeah, I was just in a different, you know, in a different trajectory in terms of the impact I wanted to do in this world. But like I said, I just looked for ways to make sure that there was still love and we could bring peace to that process. But it's still painful, and it was one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make. Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I know about you and your life in terms of, you know, the circle that you're with now is, you have this incredible support system. You have these people that, when we think about, you know, we talk about our tribe that literally stand for your absolute well-being and your happiness and what is best for you. And there is no doubt that in that experience, in that, you know, point in time, and even now, I'm sure there are more than their fair share of people who are telling you you're nuts and you're crazy and you have to be out of your mind and all of these different things, like, you know, to leave your family and to do these, you know, what are you doing? You know, Carolyn's gone crazy.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you can speak a bit about how important and what you would say about the value and actually necessity of having a strong support system and how this has kept you going. In those times, you know, because we all have it, that we can be strong up to a point, but there are times those voices get to you. They do. And you definitely think about packing it in, and you definitely think about, you know, maybe I am crazy. Maybe they are right. Maybe it would just be easier to do this. Because, you know, one of the things that has moved me in this direction of, you know, I've shared, and we're speaking about starting the Rising Together women's community, something that Carolyn has been instrumental in the creation of. So I thank her very much for that. But the realization that you really, no matter what level of perseverance and resiliency you have, you cannot do it alone. You cannot go through this alone.
No.
You know, so speaking a bit about the support system and some of the things that they have done and have been for you, and what for you makes a genuine having a sisterhood or a community or those soul connections, so that people who are listening can truly, because people go, oh, I have great friends, but it's like, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I have great friends that ask me to do things for them all the time and go places with them. But when I need them and the shit really hits the fan, it's like they're nowhere to be found. But hey, they're there.
Oh no, that's like I love that you're talking about this, because absolutely not only like through that experience when I separated, I lost friends and I lost family members because they just did not understand. Like, you are just every type of guilt, this is the worst thing you're doing for your kids. You should at least stick in the relationship for your kids. But I couldn't verbalize why I had this just driving force of like, it's not going to work in this system, this scenario. It's not going to work for what I'm meant to be. And just like that, as from our time working together, there's been a lot of those moments in our business of moving to the next level, where I've been in situations of having to essentially shed some relationships that were friend and internal, business members, that was very heartbreaking for me. But they thankfully, like you said, this tribe of, well, particularly soul sisters. And also I have to say that my business partner has been incredible, because he's always just, it's like he saw right through me and saw, no, you're meant to do something bigger, and this is your vision. I'm going to support you, and I'm not never going to question what you're building. But that has also, connected me, like you said, to this tribe of women in particular, that I just feel so safe that doesn't matter what I'm going through in my life, there's not going to be a judge. There's no judgment. There's no judgment because I'm this, executive or co-owner or whatever of this company, or I'm their boss, or I'm their, it just like removes all those barriers, and we can actually show up raw and authentic and say, you know what, this is life. Today I'm not doing well because I'm experiencing this in life, and it's okay. There's no judgment. I don't need to know the details, or I don't need to like take a side or whatever. This is a place for you to come safe and openly, and when you're going through that, or if you need prayers, or if you want support, I'm going stepping into this new experience, and please send me your energy and your prayers so that I can step, have that with me. And it has just been remarkable because it is so authentic. So authentic, because, and I have, I do have like some core family members that I have that kind of relationship with. But outside of that, I have always found it difficult to build those type of relationships for myself, like with friends. Just because there's always been like different elements. Either they, like I said, they just don't understand what I do in that, or they're attracted to being around me because they like the energy. And then, but then when things get heavy, it's, then
you're too
you're
much.
Like, okay, I have to filter what I share, because then otherwise I'm bringing them down with my being too real. And so that's why, like you said, this group that you're putting together in this platform, for me, spoke right to my core, because I have never experienced that kind of place where I know I can open and freely just share. And I know people might say nothing, or they may just, they listen and just send love. And that's good. That's good enough in that moment.
Well, and what I think is most incredible and sharing about this experience is it was never an idea. It was never an idea that was had, but it was something that just naturally happened in an experience with us together, right? Which was really amazing. And what we found made this so unique, and that has made such a tremendous impact in my life as well. Because now when I set out for those relationships or those connections, I have this understanding of what that genuine connection feels like now, and what it is that I'm seeking in terms of that mutual connection. And what's really unique about this environment is that balance, because I think this is also very hard for women in particular, is that balance between the support that you have that isn't just, you know, what I call, like, you know, the pity platform.
Yes, exactly.
You know, where it's, oh, that's so horrible, and how could they do that to you? And it's like the tea stirring and you know, the pot stirring, and these campaigns where everybody just rallies together to feel bad with you, versus tough love and no empathy and compassion and understand and suck it up, buttercup, and let's go. Come on, pick yourself up. And it's this space where when you're down, we all come down and we sit on the floor with you together for a little while. We'll hold space, we'll work through it, but then we take you by the arm, we give you that boost, and we all stand up together, and we're walking shoulder to shoulder until you're ready to stand on your own again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is that, it's not one or the other. It's a little bit of both, but in that healthy space where no one has an agenda or an expectation or an outcome of those things. And I think that's the biggest thing, is when we lose those relationships and we lose those ties, it's not about whether or not they love you, you know, and in your experiences, you're speaking so true to what we're all familiar with. And it's just that people didn't, they had a different expectation and an idea of how you were supposed to be living your life, the choices that you were supposed to be making, and you just weren't meeting those expectations. You weren't matching those ideas. And those who are more strongly, and sometimes from the best of intentions, right? From a place of love. I care about you, Carolyn. This is crazy. We don't want to see you fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
But what we forget is this is Carolyn's journey. This is her walk. And even if she falls, these are experiences that she needs to learn. It's not our job to save or rescue or prevent anything from happening to another person. And that's what I think is this new movement that you not only make with your business, because those who don't know Carolyn, what's incredible about her is she walks the walk and she talks the talk. There is nothing about you when you say, you know, I'm looking to build, you know, sustainable solutions and, you know, compassionate communities and all these things. You're not, that's not just a marketing platform for you. This is the way you live your life. This is the way you are in your home with your children, with your friends, the way you take people into your team and allow them to just show their gifts and their skills, and you'll find a position for people. You may not have one, but you're like, hey, you have something good to bring here. Come on in. You know, it's like corporate stone soup. Like, what do you have? What do you have? Let's throw it in the pot and see what delicious things we can make together, right?
Yeah.
Carolyn is like a Michelin star chef that just sees every formidable flavor, and you bring that. And I know, had you not had these experiences that have brought you to a place of reinvention as many times as you had, that you couldn't find or see that potential of possibility, of growth. Like, you can look at those properties and go, well, you see this, but I see that.
That's what I love about what I get to do, because I, so many times, like you're describing exactly, I would say kind of my superpower in the business that we do, is someone will say to me, hey, here's this Good example is we're working on a project in Belmont, New York, actually, this old over 100-year-old school. It's this big property, and this lady who's really involved there in the art space and stuff had approached us and said, I want to convert the school into a performing arts center.
Wow.
So it's like such a beautiful idea, and this is her love and her passion. And so I've been working with her now over a year, but as I've evolved, so has the vision of that school. So initially it was a performing arts center. Now we're incorporating things like alternative energy source. So how can we power it in a way that's better for the environment? How can we do vertical farming inside of the school so that it could support the food that we need for the cafeteria and for the restaurants and in the school? How can we incorporate other elements that are now going to make this project from being, for example, a charity to being a self-sustaining financial profit center that's going to keep doing good and keep holding its own because of all these pieces that will contribute. So that's where I get really lit up. And thankfully, it has continued to open up doors to more opportunities to, to just not looking at something in like so linear, but seeing like, okay, how are there other pieces that we can bring into this to actually make it better than we originally thought.
I love that. So I want to ask Carolyn, as we bring this to a close, you know, recapping everything that you have spoken on and all of these incredible gems that are coming out. I mean, we've talked about everything from, you know, really honoring and following, you know, the intuition, the guidance and the messages that come, no matter how frightening or risky it might be, the costs and the gains of really continuing to stay on your determined path, in spite of what it is that society or culture, you know, basically putting us in these containers. It's interesting because right before this, you know, episode, we were just talking about, you know, school systems and our kids and, you know, being put in these boxes and containers of things. We've talked about, you know, not suppressing that deep, passionate desire and true knowing of what you're meant for and heeding that calling and honoring the life of yourself while balancing that place of caregiving and nurturing. We talked about the importance of a strong tribe and support system and honoring emotions and going through your experiences and not trying to outrun them or escaping. I mean, there's no end to the infinite knowledge that can be shared in everything it is that you have brought about. And as we bring this together, this idea of, you know, coming back to life, and what it is for you that you truly believe that this life is for, that this life and what it means to live for you, as well as anything you would like to share to those who don't think it's possible.
Yeah, that's a really great question. One of my, I feel like as I continue to evolve, there's always like so much learning, which I'm always grateful for because it just keeps taking me forward to this next level of impact and getting to this place, like I said at the beginning, where I feel for the first time, I'm in so much alignment of what I felt inside my soul for my whole life. And I would say that the driver for me was always to really just lean into what I was feeling. And that was something so new that I had to learn as an adult, actually. So it's not like, I know for some people, they intuitively, you know, can hear, you know, when their body's speaking to them and those kind of things. That for me shut off actually the day that my mom passed away. And because I had actually received the call from the police when they said she got into an accident and they were trying to find other adults in the home. And I remember asking, is she okay? And they said, yeah, she'll be okay. But in my gut, I was like, she's not okay. And then when that confirmation happened later in the day, I was like, I never again want to trust what my body's telling me.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I had to relearn that. And I've been on this journey as an adult after 40 years old of how do I learn to trust what my body is telling me? And I feel that with each experience that's showing up, when I'm pushed to limits on certain things, it's like I can move faster through them and I can journey through them in the healing and everything that I need to do, because now I'm understanding how my body is essentially my GPS that keeps guiding me and like, it's going to be okay. Like, this is happening for a reason. Yes, it's painful. And yes, you can cry your eyeballs out and do whatever you need to do, but it's going to be okay.
And for those, I mean, we're talking about a woman who has literally built herself up to incredible success as a speaker, a writer, a CEO of a groundbreaking and world-changing company. And in the face of losing her mother at 12, leaving high school, loss of homes, loss of marriage. And you know what? As I'm saying this too, like, it's funny because the word loss just doesn't connect to your experiences, where so many people would see this. And it's like morphing and moving to like transition of family, transition of home. You know, this is just that energy that comes through for Carolyn. Every time I sit in front of her, it's like, nope, her guides are
We're transitioning.
Exactly. Her guides are like, this woman hasn't lost anything. She's gained tenfold. She hasn't lost at all. There's no loss. Carolyn is not a lady who loses. She experiences, she learns. So to those who can say, you know, yeah, but, you know, and I'm speaking to the, you know, to the heart of those that are like, but my situation, you know, it's not the same and I can't. And, you know, like, this is just it. What do you have to say to anyone who truly, truly, truly at this point is really believing that there's no way out? And the message that you would send to that person, and I'm going to speak really, really to the core here, because if anybody can do it, it's Carolyn. Those people on the edge that, you know, where I was at one point in my life, where despite all the wonderful things I had, it's like, dear God, I don't think I can wake up again tomorrow and do this one more time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a powerful question, and it like gets me to my core too, because I think the deep root of that, and you know, I say this on a regular basis to my children, is that we are all like gifts on this planet. We may not in the moment see that or recognize our light, but and I think that's where, for me, like what you were describing before, where I always look at people in what, like what I see internally. They might not see it in the moment that they meet me, but I see at the core of them, I'm like, you are such a gift. We are all such gifts. And when you're going through those darkest moments, it is at least has been my experience, that's when it's even more critical to lean into, like, what are my gifts? What have I done? What are the things that, how have I, you know, been a source of love or a source of peace or support to others? And hanging on to that and leaning into, we are all here with a purpose. And even if your purpose is, see, I just want to, one thing I want to emphasize before this, we wrap this up, because I have been led through this life journey to get to where I am today, doesn't mean that's everybody's life journey. My mom, for example, was such a gift. She gave like such everything in her soul. She was such an incredible mother that she left that impact in my brothers and I, even in the short period that we had her in our life. Mm-hmm. Right? She was a stay-at-home mom. That was what she did for us. Mm-hmm. But to me, she was like the greatest gift. And there's so many people like that, that they're just to recognize ourselves as gifts. It doesn't mean that you have to have a certain number of degrees or titles or recognitions or, you know, be a CEO of a company or be a whatever. Everybody is a gift. And that's what I say to my kids. I'm like, it doesn't matter to me what you do while you're on this life journey, as long as what you do is going to bring you joy, you feel happy, you feel like you're serving in the best possible way that you're meant to be serving. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, everybody has a purpose here. Even the people serving for us, you know, at a restaurant, or somebody that's working at, you know, a mechanic shop, and that's what they love to do. That's their mm-hmm. gift. Mm-hmm. And we need all these people, everybody. We all play an important part in this planet. And as long as we do it, like I said, with passion and love and true feel fulfillment in what we do, then that's all that matters.
I love that, Carolyn. I mean, it's that's just everything. And this idea too that, you know, any belief that you have that you're the exception to that rule, you know, when we're saying everyone, every single person, no one is an exception to that rule. You know, and speaking from both of our hearts, you know, in the time that you've shared together with us, you know, this is something that I, in terms of the gifts that I have embraced and allowed into feeling the energies and going inward into the people that I'm with, Carolyn and her gifts of what she has, you know, if you are in this place where it's, you don't see that for yourself and you are looking for that support, because sometimes it is that person who reminds you, it is that person who draws it out of you. And that is the true embodiment of the Rising Together community and what it is that we bring. There is not a woman in this experience that does not come together in this place and see each one for who they are, where they are, what they need, what they are meant for, and brings out every single drop of the best of who they are. And that is the experience that together, whether it be, you know, in these communities that Carolyn's putting together, in our schools, in our homes, that we are looking to bring together for all of us and the women coming together now, and the creation of future generations to really transform that role of young women and girls to know that they are more than what they are told to do. It is in who you are and not what you do that is your purpose and your meaning.
Exactly.
Carolyn, I want to thank you so very much for making space and time to be with me, for everything that you have shared with us in this experience. It's been an indescribable gift and an honor and a privilege. And it's my hope that we'll have you back on again at some point, because what there is to gain and learn and know from Carolyn does not stop here. Again, if you'd like to know more about Carolyn's experience and her journey, get your hands on her book, Dream the Impossible, My Friend, and learn more about her through the link shared in the description of this episode. And I look forward to being with you all again for future guests on our next episodes. And until then, I'm wishing you endless happiness, light, love, knowing your worth each and every day. This is Debbie O'Keefe wishing you well. Take care. Great blessings.